Is weightlifting safe for kids?
So I think that's a very popular question, especially from parents. There's good literature on the safety of specifically the sport of weightlifting. Hamill's study from many years ago is probably the most commonly pointed one, and where we compare the actual sport of weightlifting compared to other
Other
sports.
sports, yeah.
And there's if you're really scared about injuries, there's a whole bunch of sports I would avoid before weightlifting. Yes, weightlifting is great. Your kids should do weightlifting. It's about how, the context and how, and do you have someone that knows what they're doing and that's qualified to sort of lead it and direct it?
So hello Guy, welcome to Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be great.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Alex, for having me. I've enjoyed your following you on social media over the last about a year now. I think it's a great way to communicate with parents and coaches, some of this more research-driven information that, for people that don't want to dive into the more maybe tedious research articles. So I'm currently at West Virginia University. I'm an assistant professor in coaching and performance science. So I oversee a grant that is funded through our county's school board that provides a graduate assistant scholarship to a strength coach, to be the strength coach, to a student to be the strength coach at a local area high school. And so we have three local area high schools within the county. We have three GAs. And so I coordinate and run that program. I am the head weightlifting coach for, it's behind me here, West Virginia Weightlifting. I've been doing that actually one more year than I've been at WVU. I was at a small school in West Virginia for one year before that, Glenville State College. Prior to that, I was at East Tennessee State University for a long time. I was there 8 years, undergrad, got there as a 19-year-old. I was a thrower in the track team at East Tennessee State University. Meg Stone was my throws coach, so Coach Stone, two-time Olympian, still holds the collegiate NCAA Division I record for discus, first female strength coach at a major Division I school, also with football as well at Arizona and Texas Tech. So I was, just blessed to have her as a coach, and then her husband Mike Stone was my strength coach and also like academic advisor. I got to have him as a professor in a ton of classes throughout my time at ETSU, and I stayed on 5 years of grad school. I was a strength coach at ETSU as a grad student for the 5 years there. I transitioned to the sport of weightlifting when I started grad school and did that all 5 years. I think that one of the things I really got to experience that was so helpful to me was when I got to ETSU, it was Doc and Meg's first year. And then, and so I got to kind of be along for the ride of seeing them develop and build the program. And then sort of similar kind of being on the front end of things when the PhD program, so the PhD in sport physiology got going, really is kind of more true applied sport science doctorate. Which is real unique in the U.S. I was part of that first cohort that got to do that. And the timing kind of, I was super lucky with how that all worked out. And so, yeah, that's my background.
That's amazing. So I contacted you and asked you for this interview because you are authored the paper called Weightlifting for Children and Adolescents, a Narrative Review. And it's a great paper, lots of gold in it. So I hope to pick up your brain. And let's start with the burning question, which is weightlifting safe for kids?
That's a very popular question, especially from parents. There's good literature on the safety of specifically the sport of weightlifting. Hamill's study from many years ago is probably the most commonly pointed one, and where we compare the actual sport of weightlifting compared to other sports. And if you're really scared about injuries, there's a whole bunch of sports I would avoid before weightlifting. Yes, weightlifting is great. Your kids should do weightlifting. It's about how, the context and how, and do you have someone that knows what they're doing and that's qualified to sort of lead it and direct it? I think one of the things from just our brief talk before we got started, a theme of, to me anyway, when it comes to long-term athlete development, which, this is just one piece of it, is that there's LTAD like education that is aimed at really more so parents. And I think that's based on like, how do we navigate the situation as it is now. And then there's LTAD that I think is more aimed at practitioners and coaches. And I think sometimes it's not so clear which one is which. And I think we'll probably come back to that later. But I think that for, you know, resistance exercise for children and adolescents, I think that don't view it as just weightlifting, like the sport and a barbell. There's all sorts of stuff that, I mean, if you're talking about doing body weight exercises, gymnastics has figured out the benefits of that starting at an early, really early age, very early on. And I think a lot of that came from, it is a more early specialization sport, and, you know, certain kind of how they have their stages and levels. And I'm not, certainly not an expert, you know, for to do certain movements, you have to have certain requisite strength levels to perform them. And, you know, that gets into the idea that force is a vector, right? So it's got a magnitude and a direction. And that also gets at this idea of when we have performance, we have movement. As coaches, oftentimes we're trying to figure out, is it more a technique issue? Is it more a, not just necessarily strength, but, you know, a force output issue? And where do we need to, you know, kind of yield the best result by focusing on? And sometimes it is more obvious, right? Like this athlete, if it's like a movement that's relative to their body weight, they're strong enough to do this movement, but then they don't have the technique required. It's obviously much more complicated than that because, you know, ideally athletes learn the proper technique very, very early. And proper technique isn't just about, I mean, a lot of it is about, it's usually better for performance, but then also it tends to be safer. And if we're talking about exercises that are performed in more the arena of training versus the actual in competition, better technique usually transfers to the actual sport performance better. And so there isn't an exact age, right? And that's a theme of LTAD. We have ranges for, you know, the difference between biological and chronological age and those types of things. But I think that if you start them off properly with both actual resistance exercise, body weight, and different positional exercises, as well as actual sports, and different sports bring different things to the table that can provide positive adaptations to the athlete. Certainly still into the single digits is an appropriate time. You're probably getting upper single digits to where we can look at putting a barbell in a young athlete's hand, and the weight of that barbell depends, and the exercises and the progressions and all of those things that you would have them do would depend also.
Okay, so what you're saying is it safe? Is it the same question for any sport? So it depends who is teaching and how it's run. And in terms of what is the appropriate age, you would say technique can be early in younger kids, and then the weight will depend on each athlete, young athlete, their capabilities and what they need at the moment or for the future.
One of the things that kind of used to be popular thought 30-ish years ago was this idea of there's not a whole lot of benefit to developing strength until puberty. And that was just based on like looking at strength gains pre-puberty and strength gains post-puberty. There's been plenty of research that's done since that showed that yes, the response after puberty to strength training is much greater, but athletes, young athletes pre-puberty still do get stronger and they can progress pretty well over time. And that's probably most beneficial, not just for weightlifters, but all athletes, more thinking about the technical side, right? Because we know that at earlier ages, that's the best time to ingrain good technique. They're more sponge-like to pick up the proper motor patterns. And one of the things that we know quite well is that if you try to learn a new technique at, you know, 20 versus 11 or 12, it's more challenging. And then if an athlete learns incorrect technique or has some technical issues, good luck fixing that after years and years and years and years of them doing it. And so if you think about for, you know, younger athletes and some of the positions they might need to get in for specifically like for weightlifting, a good start position with a flat back, you know, being able to not get even with like a bar, or when I say bar, I don't just mean a 20 or 15 kilogram bar, even potentially lighter, you know, not get letting it get pulled around. They can have tension. They can hit like a power position with a big chest and a flat back, those types of things, the strength necessary to do that, to where they're not performing those positions with poor technique, and they're not performing those movements incorrectly. And so I think really from a strength aspect really early on, a lot of it is about that. And then getting into more puberty and early after puberty, I think that developing a sort of this longer, slow approach to strength leads to much greater performance potential in the long run, and allows for a base, so to speak, to be provided to the athlete. Kind of getting back to that thing I said about you have LTAD for parents and you have LTAD for coaches. One of the things I see come up all the time, and I agree with the general recommendations that I see come from the world of LTAD, but I think that sometimes it's missed that a lot of it seems to be more aimed at parents making decisions now. And that is this idea that for multi-sport versus singles sport, or early specialization versus late, that type of stuff. I do think generally it's good for athletes to be exposed to different sports and to, you know, for not just even for physical development, but to be introduced to different sports so they experience those different things. But let's say a kid really liked weightlifting and they chose, and I think that's a very important part of it. I've gotten, you know, being in the weightlifting world, I've gotten to know several athletes, even if the athlete does make that decision, and, you know, relatively speaking, like early high school age, let's say, makes the commitment to weightlifting, that doesn't mean that then all the athlete's training has to be snatches and clean and jerks, right? It's on the coach to provide a multilateral, more general, earlier on development for the athlete. And I think that, you know, one of the things, and I know the US system really, and that's it, you know, I think that a lot of the recommendations that are do multi-sport, I've seen this, an athlete that only played baseball growing up usually lacked athleticism and some strength and flexibility and those types of things. But some of it is, I think, at times thinking, let's rely on the sport to provide the athlete development. And so, you know, this sport is more, you know, basketball, there's jumping and landing, soccer, there's more running, baseball, there's this high skill and some high power. And there's certainly something to that, like, especially for younger athletes experiencing those things in the sport, they can adapt to that sport and improve as an athlete, but we shouldn't solely rely on that to be sort of their athlete development system. And so I think, for weightlifting, it's no different. And so I've every now and then we'll have like middle school age athlete come into the gym and want to do weightlifting, and their program looks very different than the college kids, even if it's a college kid that just started, right? Because they're at a different place in their physical development. And so it's how you go about the process.
Could you make up an athlete, let's say at the age of 14, and how you would introduce them to the sport, and how you would structure the training at the beginning, and how you would move this athlete, mm-hmm. or 11 or...
So if we're talking younger ages, and honestly, I do some of this even with, if they're beginners, they're beginners. But if we're talking younger ages, the first couple technical things I look for really deal with more pull and squatting and maybe some overhead pressing. But I really look at the pull as a combination of, so the first pull in the transition from the floor to right to the above the knee when they start the transition into the power position. And I look at that as a process of getting into a good power position and using a good power position. And so it really is centered around that. And so I want them to learn what a good power position feels like. And I want them to learn how to be vicious and aggressive with using it. And so, you know, different, probably the top-down approach is beneficial, even with what I just said of like, okay, let's, you know, let's learn more, some overhead squats and power position and work our way down. A combination is probably the best way to do it. You know, I think we can work on the power position and then also do some work off of the floor as well. If we're talking about something just like the second pull from the power position, I think we can, if it looks good, we can do multiple reps early on. Anything more technical, I keep the reps low and provide rest. And then I'm a big believer in strength development. And eventually power develop. Early on, a whole lot, especially if they're real young, a whole lot of it is actually from the power position, snatches from the power position, cleans from the power position. We do a lot, we do quite a bit of pulling from the floor, from the knee, where we don't catch. And so, you know, that's less technically complicated. And then we can also overload that, you know, beyond what they could catch. But so early on, it's sort of a combination of really trying to drive these specific technical aspects. I'm a big believer in doing those partial movements to focus on specific areas that have, so there's both a technique, but then also a strength benefit to them. And kind of going back to that stuff about, you know, to some degree, especially beginners, you improve strength doing things right. I think you can also improve technique. And then I'm a big believer in, you know, if you're kind of just picturing like a typical macro cycle or even, you know, a macro cycle, let's say that's an annual plan. So you have an entire year utilizing and taking a big time advantage of general prep. And so, you know, weightlifting is a sport that's kind of the nature of the competition schedule, you know, basically have a meet and then you have months and months and months, you know, you might compete 2-3 times a year and that's it. More advanced athletes, more advanced weightlifters, you know, let's say it's, I'm just making up hypotheticals, but let's say it's kind of half and half general prep and specific. In fact, for more advanced, it's probably a little bit more than half specific. The general is sort of to get back what was lost through like the taper and the active rest and that. For more beginner, it's much more general prep. In fact, early on, it's general, and then, you know, what I would say is specific is more like general / specific, right? So if you're talking like strength exercises, higher reps, a lot of, you know, squats and presses and pulls and those types of things before getting into, you can do a snatch certainly, and you can do a jerk and those types of things, but it progresses more over time to the more specific as they climb the ladder, so to speak, over years and years. The specific increases and the general decreases some, but I think it's important to remember, you know, we're a very adaptation heavy sport. And if you want to be a good weightlifter, you need to be really, really, really strong. And that doesn't happen overnight. And so, you know, you got to be patient. Strength development and the, even we're going to call it more, you know, just general prep, that stuff, that training, and then the heavy snatches and clean and jerks, those two things don't go together. Spend a lot of time developing strength and getting them strong. And then when it comes to competing, big believer in not having a miss. You know, be conservative with their weights, both in training and especially in meets, to where early on, for me, the goal is 6 for 6. And I don't, you know, I'd rather them go 6 for 6 and not beat maybe what they've done in training before, than if we're talking like within the first couple years, versus PRing by a kilo or two and they go 2 for 6 or 3 for 6, because you want to build confidence on the platform. You want them to sort of get used to expecting, I'm going to make my competition lifts. You know, there's some experience to be had through the whole tapering and peaking process, which is new to athletes early on. And sometimes they aren't sure of it early on and maybe even don't like it because it's less, they feel like they're not doing enough. But yeah, that's sort of my general approach. And one of the great things about starting with them early is, I mean, there's no excuse for not being patient. You have tons of time. They're going to, I think sometimes because when they're those younger ages, they can improve so rapidly, people get too excited and want to just push the weight and push the competition lifts. But you got to do things in due time, and you kind of got to pump the brakes now and then. You know, there's some good stuff on if the longer and slower you develop them, the higher their overall peak performance potential goes. And so, you know, you look at some studies on athletes that could kind of compare volume and intensity, and particularly intensity when they were in their teenage years, how they were pushed, how much were they pushed. And, you know, there's those themes of they peaked early and kind of stagnated. They experienced things like burnout and kind of fell out of love for the sport. So there's the whole psych side as well. Even when you get more into that stage of we want to win meets and we want to PR and all that, you can't lose sight of this is one meet, right? Hopefully in a long line of many, many, many other meets to come, and that you're not just there for the meet, you're there to help them develop over a long period of time.
So this is the hard part, I think, for coaches, because they are under pressure, maybe from parents. Athlete also wants probably to perform the best they can. Would you have any advice for coaches how to navigate this pressure?
One of the things weightlifting affords, I think, a little more than some other sports, like team sports I see, is, at least in my experience, it's much easier to talk to parents, right? I don't have a team of 20, 13, and 14-year-olds, and parents are all coming and dropping off at the same time and picking up after. And if you're going to talk to them, they're sort of all there at the same time. You got to pick and choose who you talk to. And so my advice with, at least for weightlifting with parents, is talk to them, communicate what you're trying to do and why. This is a very US thing. I don't know if you deal with this in Australia, but in the US, most parents are not familiar with the sport of weightlifting at all. So like they go to their first competition, they don't know what, you know, kilograms, how it's contested, those types of things. And so you kind of want to educate them on all of it. And I also think that it's honestly probably a little bit easier too with when parents are less familiar, they have less sort of expectation of, you know, my son or daughter has to clean and jerk this amount of weight by this age or otherwise this is all a failure. Like I don't, some of that sort of stubborn bullish stuff that you might see in team sports, I don't think exists as much. Mm-hmm. The athlete side is different. And that I think is more similar to, you know, in a driven athlete to other, those other sports. Like they want to be as successful as they can be as soon as they can be it. And so I think that one of the nice things with weightlifting is it allows for a lot of communication in training. You know, you have rest periods, you can talk, you can go over things, you really can have conversations and them not be conversations that take away from the training. And so you can provide examples of sort of how and why you do things and how you're going to plan them out. And, you know, I've honestly, maybe a time or two, I've heard a comment of an athlete after a meet saying, you know, I wish you'd let me go heavier or something like that. But that's not super common. Probably what is more common is maybe, you know, an athlete starts to want to go right into the specific prep. Right. So kind of skip some of that general because they see there's a more quicker payoff to the specific. And so, you know, those are important conversations. I think if you can develop it, probably the most helpful thing we have to maybe provide examples for is building a good team. Right. To where I'm very fortunate that I have grad students and lifters that, you know, have been with us for a number of years, 5-6 years for some of them. It's one thing for me to tell the athlete, like, this is why we do this and this is why we do that. But then you have the athletes, you know, we go through this process so we can taper and peak eventually and improve, hopefully. So, yeah, it's all communication. I think the sport lends itself well to doing that communication. I mean, to kind of in odd comparison, I think it's kind of like cross country and distance running in that way of, so I with work with track, there's so much time spent with the coach talking, like before practice, after practice, we get a lot of talking time. And so, you're going to explain to them why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that, you know, if they stick with it and they experience the progress, then, you know, then hopefully it gets to the point of just what we, you know, coach knows what he or she is doing. We're, you know, I trust the plan. And so, having said all that, like, if an athlete every now and then gets upset about not getting to go as heavy as they wanted, that's okay. You know, that's very understandable, and that's them wanting to push themselves and wanting to lift heavier weight, which is part of the sport. And so, you know, as long as it's not detrimental to their process and to their training, it's probably a good thing that every now and then they want to do that and have those thoughts.
So I have two questions, and they go nicely together, I think. One would be why kids should do weightlifting, and the other would be if kids do weightlifting, what are the risks?
Yeah, so I think beyond just weightlifting, increased strength is so beneficial for all sorts of sports. Most sports in some way benefit from athletes being stronger, even endurance sports. You know, if you look at some of the things that go along with training for weightlifting, not just increased strength. When I say that, you know, not just increased maximal strength, right? But the ability to repeat forces, the ability to improve power outputs and things like postural control and the sort of stabilizing low back, midsection musculature. And so, you know, I think it's a really nice sport. If we were going to go back to that kind of example of if we're going to do a couple different sports with the aim of improving, you know, different types of athletic ability, it's a great one in that it essentially provides your S of your strength and conditioning, and it provides some conditioning as well. And I think that's an important factor, kind of going back to the stuff I said about general preparation, you know, doing things like sets of 10, working on basic strength, 3 sets of 5, where you have to repeat forces over and over and over again. I think some unique things that go along with it are the development of the stretch shortening cycle. So that particularly that transition into second pull and the loading of the hamstring and the stretch reflex that comes from that. Very beneficial for movements like jumping and sprinting. Flexibility. If you look at how weightlifters catch snatches and cleans, they, you know, there's a whole bunch of sports where it's beneficial to have not just sort of the often thought of flexibility of like hamstring flexibility or hip flexibility, but ankle flexibility, right? Being able to sit all the way down there in the bottom of a squat. You think about a movement, snatch, overhead squat, the flexibility, the coordination of the movement, total body can be really beneficial for a whole lot of sports. In terms of the risk, and you know, a lot of this goes to, is the person that's providing the coaching and the training plan, are they trained, educated, credentialed, all of those good things? You know, you can have an athlete perform something technically incorrect, and that could lead to, you know, all sorts of different issues, whether it's shoulder, wrists, poor catching of a snatch or clean. You know, let's say they don't know how to properly pull the bar, and so that leads to the bar's out in front, and so they have to jump forward to get it. The bar doesn't turn over to them, so they catch it. They catch a clean down, or they catch a snatch a little bit in front, and that can lead to some upper body issues. So there's sort of, I'd say, two general categories. There's the technique and sort of like, I don't know if accident's the best word, but you know, an acute something where the bar's out of place and an injury occurs. And then there's the more overuse training driven category. Yeah, so improper manipulation of volume and intensity, going too heavy all the time. I would say that's probably a more common issue than the volume issue, provided if we're just talking about in the weight room. Having said that, especially for athletes that are still doing other sports as well, an important thing you have to do as the coach, right, is you have to integrate how you're providing the weightlifting training with whatever else they're doing. The overuse stuff, really, it starts with putting together a long-term plan, right? Having a proper progression, having heavy and light and medium days, and what's your, you know, depending on what type of phase you're in, what's your progression and how do you do that? What's like your sort of your loading paradigm? Sometimes it's referred to like sort of step ladder like, with heavy and light days along the way, but you're kind of your increase in the intensity over a number of weeks, and then deloading after that. Oftentimes for like more power-based blocks, we will do like a sort of a strength week, and then really decrease the volume and ramp up the intensity over a couple weeks. All of those things are part of just proper training prescription.
One more controversial question: should kids compete?
I think it depends, and I know that that's not the perfect answer or the straightforward answer, but I think that there's a whole lot of things to think about. One is, do they really want to compete? And technique wise, are they consistent? So not just do they, you know, do a snatch and clean and jerk and it look like it needs to look, but are they consistent? Are you comfortable that it's consistent? I think that there are some unique aspects to a weightlifting competition that need to be considered. And this is, you know, some things I will tell parents, is that I thought I knew all there was to know about individual sport and people watching you coming from track and field, right? Like, it's an individual sport. You know, when I'm throwing, no one else is doing the same throwing event while I'm doing it. But then you go to a weightlifting competition and everyone's watching you. And so it is like, it can be intimidating and terrifying for a young athlete. You know, let's say their technique has gotten to a point where it's pretty stable. I think there's some things that are worth doing in preparation to sort of even start to kind of gauge, you know, whether they're ready or not.
Could you give some examples?
So do some things that kind of simulate meat-like environment type things. And, you know, and some of that is to introduce them to what a meat looks like, with how the clock works and changes are made, and when you know, are you following yourself or are you following someone else? You might have them, okay, you're gonna do all your warm-up attempts over here, and then we're gonna go to this other platform to where you're gonna perform your meat lifts. And and we're gonna have a couple people sit there and watch you. You know, those types of things, and see how they respond and react to that. And so if all of those things kind of point to they're ready to compete, I think they can go to a meet and compete. And, you know, I don't think there's a perfect age. I do think it depends. I think consistency with technique is a big, big part of it. And then just generally, how are they responding to some of those, like the example of the scenario where they're put through sort of like meat-like experience. I would say really early on, you know, if they're 12, 13, 14 even, the frequency at which they compete, I think, should be first pretty low, and then probably a little bit higher than once they get into their like late teens and 20s in that.
Pretty low would be how many meets in a year?
I mean, one or two, mm-hmm. or early on. And then once they get, as long as it's feasible, like logistics and driving and all that stuff, like, I think after a you know, 2 years of that, I think you can actually ramp up the amount of meets and really look at it from an experience standpoint. Like, we're not going to taper and peak every time. You're going to go and you're going to make lifts. We can, you know, think of this as a training Saturday, because every time it's a learning experience. Mm-hmm. And they build up, you know, confidence, they get used to, you know, they develop their own sort of approach and strategies, whether it's, you know, warm-up routine, music, how they like to pace themselves. You know, you'll as the coach, you have all their warm-ups and their rests and plan out all those things, but you start to learn one another and they start to learn what they prefer. And then I think you can kind of make it past that to where you kind of go back to, we're going to you know, you're going to get to a point where we're really just going to compete when we taper and peak. And so let's say it's 2 to 3 times a year, we're going to taper and peak that many times, and we're going to try to really do well at these competitions. Thinking about all of those things, it's very individual. And I think that for the first couple of years, it's be patient. And I would avoid competing too much, not just from all the sort of meat and experience and psychology stuff, but also just to, you know, part of it is limiting the time, how often they would go heavy for their snatches and clean and jerks.
What is your approach with, because weightlifting is a weight controlled sport, like you have weight classes even with youth athletes. So how do you navigate weight classes with your youth athletes?
So I would say by and large, I tell them to not worry about it and just lift and train. And eventually we'll get to the point, because it is a weight class sport, to where we'll address it later on. I think especially for young beginner weightlifters, that's the best, for sure, the best way to go. I do think, I mean, it gets into the almighty, it depends, but at some point you might need to think about, okay, they're probably going to be this weight class, you know, let's say they're a kilo or two over. There can be beneficial learning experience to going through the process of making weight and sort of them checking themselves and all that. At what point that should be, I think a lot of it depends on, you know, emotional maturity and where they're at in their training and their weightlifting career. One very practical consideration is, you might think, you know, will they, if they compete in this weight class versus this weight class, and we're talking about like they're, you know, let's say they're a kilo or two or three over, if they drop just a little bit, are we talking about they'll much more likely qualify for a big meet or something like that? But very early on, is don't pay attention to it. I mean, first of all, you probably don't want them focusing on that to begin with, but then also their bodies are going to change, and what they are now is not going to be what they are later on. It's not just as simple as, yes, ideally they put on muscle, so that would be gaining some weight, but then also I've seen athletes lean up some and actually drop some weight. And so we get a lot of college age athletes. And so for that, it's much easier to know about where they're going to be. The changes are much slower. But USAW has some nice stuff, some like nice guidelines for coaches and parents for navigating some of the weight class stuff. And they've done some things that I think are good for the weigh-in experience, weighing in the singlet and those types of things. The food diaries and things like that should be avoided early on. And I think that's more important type of thing than just a weight class recommendation. And it can cause some issues to the point where I've seen it and, you know, referred them to sport psych. I'm lucky that I'm in a college that actually has sports psychologists that can meet with athletes and have those conversations. Athletes being more hyper aware of like their readiness and their sleep and all of these things, like sometimes you need to just probably focus on training and not getting so wrapped into, I now think I'm going to have a bad day of training because of something my wrist says.
So I know that you had a book came out recently, so please tell us more about it.
Yeah, thank you. So it is called Strength and Conditioning in Sports, From Science to Practice. There's five of us that co-authored the book. It was led by Mike Stone and Tim Sukumel, and then myself, John Waggle, and Aaron Cunanan. I think as an authorship group, it was a nice combination of, mentioned Doc's work in a second, but Tim and myself are academics that also coach. And then John he's just actually took a new job with Notre Dame as the director of performance science, but he came from doing a sports science job at Kansas City Royals, Major League Baseball. Aaron Cunanan is director of sports science for the Cincinnati Reds. He's worked previously for UFC in a sports science role, and before that, the San Francisco Giants. And so I think it was a really nice group of us that different areas complemented one another well. This book the first several chapters, whether it's bioenergetics or neuroendocrine or mechanics, those chapters are pretty heavy science. One of the chapters is on athlete monitoring and the different technologies and processes and kind of what we know now. It's we've made a lot of strides. I think that it's an upper level undergraduate text, like senior level to grad. And I think that in terms of particularly the periodization that's covered, periodization information in the athlete monitoring, I think that we were able to put it together at a pretty high level that was aimed more at that sort of grad level student and practitioners as well. So it was an honor to get to do that.
I wanted to ask you if you would have like one sentence advice for coaches on the topic of kids in weightlifting. What would it be? The most important thing you want the coaches to know?
Probably something along the lines of just be very, very patient and plan out your process beyond just, the first week or two. Be long term with how you think through things.
Last question. Oh no, I have two more questions. So one is, what is your favorite color?
What's the old Monty Python? Blue, no green?
I'm nodding it because the next publication in weightlifting will have an infographic with this color. So that's the promise from me. I thank you so much for today. One last thing is where people can find you.
So yeah, I'm on Twitter, Coach Guyton, G-U-Y-T-O-N is my Twitter handle. I'm on ResearchGate, and ResearchGate is a real nice way to share research conveniently and quickly. It's just Guy Hornsby is my name on there. And my email is william.hornsby@mailwvu.edu.
Okay. Thank you so much for today. And I hope to see you and to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.